Well, thank you, Linda, for the introduction. Thanks for all of you for being here this morning and for giving me a reason to come up twice in 1 week to this most beautiful. It really is great to be here. I know we are joined by a number of elected officials too, and Butler is here, and I don't know if I have missed anyone else.
Karen, I'm here.
Oh, Karen, hi, how are you? Nice to see you. And I wanted to thank you both. This is the time of year in Concord when we are all scratching our heads and wondering how everything's going to get done. Karen's nodding a lot. She's on House Finance. But I am very, very grateful because without our volunteer legislators, we wouldn't do the work we need to do to keep moving the state forward. So I'm very, very grateful for their work. And a particular reminder to those of you who maybe don't know, our wonderful elected officials, 424 New Hampshire citizens, give enormous amounts of time and energy each year for the grand total sum of $100 a year. And so it is truly volunteer service, and I am very grateful to all of them for it. Mostly, though, I want to thank you, the Mount Washington Valley Economic Council. Your work to support our state's vibrant business community and to help maintain the region's high quality of life is really critical to our state's economic future. Your businesses are working to make smart, strategic investments in building a stronger economic future and a better community, which helps drive our whole state's economy. And that's what I'm working to do throughout the state. With the business community in the Mount Washington Valley helping to lead the way, we have come a long way since the depths of the recession. And the state of our state is strong, and it is getting stronger. Our unemployment rate continues to fall and is now 2.6%. That's the second lowest rate in the country. And for the third year in a row, New Hampshire was ranked as the strongest state in the union based on more than a dozen measures of economic strength, the safety of our communities, and our quality of life. Every single day, Granite Staters roll up their sleeves and work together to solve problems and improve our communities, really setting a strong example for their elected officials. Following that lead, we continue to prove that in New Hampshire, we can bridge the political divide and accomplish truly great things together. That started with enacting two fiscally responsible bipartisan budgets while holding the line against a sales or an income tax. We came together and lowered taxes for small businesses while also protecting our ability to invest in critical economic priorities now and into the future. Priorities like encouraging innovation, making college more affordable for all of our people, ensuring that hardworking Granite Staters have access to quality, affordable health care, combating the heroin and opioid crisis, and fixing our roads and bridges. We put our state's financial house in order, working across party lines to end expensive lawsuits that threatened our long-term financial outlook, as well as our bond rating. Thanks to a strong economy and careful management of our state budget, we finished fiscal year 2015 with a $62 million surplus, doubling our rainy day fund to its highest level since 2009. We've made real bipartisan progress to set the foundation for a new generation of innovative economic growth. But our work to keep New Hampshire moving forward must never cease. While our state's economy certainly remains ahead of the curve, the American economy has fundamentally changed. It is critical that we equip our people for success in this changing economy so that we can build a future where everyone has an opportunity to get ahead and then to stay ahead. The foundation for that future starts with public safety. We know that our people, our families, and our businesses cannot grow and thrive without safe communities. That's why the first and foremost responsibility of government is keeping our citizens safe. Thanks to our remarkable public safety officials, We are one of the safest states in the country. But we all know that the heroin and opioid crisis remains the most pressing public health and public safety issue facing our state. Last year alone, more than 435 Granite Staters died from a drug overdose, with the majority of these deaths caused by fentanyl, heroin, or another opioid. And thousands more overdosed, their lives saved only by the quick action of first responders, medical providers, or family and friends. You know, I spoke yesterday at the Union Leader Hero Awards. Once a year, we honor people who have been heroes in our state. And to give you a sense of how strong the power of these opioids are and how quickly addiction can ravage someone, we honored posthumously a young man who, with a co-worker, had just last year saved two people from overdoses in a car that was burning outside their office. They saw the car burst into flames, they pulled the people out, they gave them CPR, they saved two people with addiction who had overdosed. Last month, one of those rescuers succumbed to an overdose himself. So this is a battle that we are in the midst of and that we have to win. We all recognize how serious the threat is. Substance abuse poses an incredible threat to our people, also to our high quality of life, to our businesses, and to our economy. And we've been working together to strengthen our efforts to combat this crisis. Last fall, I called for a special session of the legislature and proposed comprehensive legislation to stem and reverse the tide of this horrible epidemic and to help save lives. And in January, I signed two bipartisan expedited bills that came out of that session. Thanks to that swift action, we're cracking down on fentanyl, which actually is causing more deaths than heroin. It is much more lethal. We're streamlining access to treatment and strengthening our prescription drug monitoring program. We're also working to improve provider training and prevent the overprescribing of opioids, because we know that this epidemic stems in part from the overuse, misuse, and abuse of addictive prescription opioids. We've started a series of nationally recognized provider trainings, and in the last several months, the boards of medicine, nursing, and dental examiners have set a strong example by adopting emergency rules on the prescribing of opioids.